Welcome to the Ignite Your Power podcast. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Joycelyn Lewis. The Ignite Your Power podcast will be offering you soul-filled content that will help you clarify your purpose, overcome your obstacles, declare your wins, embrace your uniqueness, and strengthen your resilience. In what ways is transparency beneficial? How is your purpose confirmed? How do you overcome guilt, shame, despair, grief, and even people-pleasing? These are just a few of the topics discussed during my soul-filled conversation with Charnell Taylor. Charnell Taylor is an abuse survivor and actively tells her story online through social media platforms. She has been a blog writer since 2010 and has a successful blog called SMH, Single Mom Hustle, that had 1,000 views upon the first month of its release. You will hear in this soul-filled conversation that Charnell keeps it real and raw because she believes that her story will impact others. Now let me let you in on a little secret. My daughter introduced me to Charnell a few weeks ago, and she had expressed that she would also be doing a podcast. So when I needed someone to do a practice run with, Charnell made herself available, even though it was her birthday. Well, little did we know that we were not doing a practice run. We were having a soulful conversation that needed to become a podcast episode. So you will be so glad that you did not miss this soulful conversation. I invite you to take a moment to take a deep breath and be ignited. Charnell, could you just first, before we get started, tell us just a little bit about yourself?
Okay, I am. My name is Charnell, obviously. I'm 31 years old as of today. Today's my birthday. Thank you so much. I recently moved to America in May from fleeing domestic violence. And so that is a whole story within itself. I'm an author. I have an ebook that I published in November called Promiscuous: Tales of a Church Girl. And I talked about, basically, it's a book I actually wrote in 2017, but I just released, and the lessons that I learned in that year. And I went back and told some of the stories of, like, growing up in church and getting pregnant while being in church, and then just my experiences after with God, and speaking my truth. So there's some details about me.
That's amazing. Well, how would you describe your purpose?
Okay. It's like, so how would I describe my purpose? I think that I'm called to specifically be transparent about to women about different parts of their life. Sorry, I'm talking slowly. Different parts of their life. Specifically transparency. I actually would say that a lot. Like, I'm called to be transparent. And I know that everyone's like, oh, everyone's called to be transparent. But I think that I am comfortable with the level of vulnerability that helps free other people. So I constantly would go back to the scripture, like, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Yeah. And so just sharing my testimony, I've seen how it has broken things off of people's lives. So whether that they dealt with promiscuity, being promiscuous, or they dealt with, you know, parental relationships breaking down, my mother, father issues, basically anything that I've gone through that I'm ready to talk about, I use that as a way to and empower other people to tell their story.
Yeah, I really love that because I think you're right. I think that in some respects, like, a lot of people do think, well, you know, everybody's transparent, but, you know, I'm like you, not everybody, there is a level of transparency that everybody is not willing to go to.
And, yeah.
But I also think that we need that. Like, we need people who are willing to be vulnerable and to share their stories. Like you say, for the purpose of helping someone else, because ultimately when you are vulnerable and when you share your stories, the good, the bad, the ugly, then it, mm-hmm. then essentially what it does is it gives other people permission to be vulnerable and transparent. So I absolutely love, that that's what you feel called to. And, I'm wondering, so how did you know, like, what types of things occurred in your life that really confirmed your call to transparency and sharing your story? What ways was that confirmed for you?
The biggest way it was confirmed is actually in 2017. So the book that I wrote was actually started off as a blog. I didn't even know I was writing a book. But when I continued to write over, literally it happened in a month, I realized that it actually was telling a story in succession. And it was opening up deeper from just being transparent about like my childhood being molested and, you know, dealing with rape, and then going into church and not feeling like God could love me unconditionally because of my broken relationships with my parents, you know, and then coming to the end of this month of like just blogs, there's about like 15, and coming to like this place of purpose, right? A purpose for the pain. And like even understanding and having these conflicting moments with God. When I wrote this blog, people started to message me. And the first blog I ever did got 1,000 views. And that's big for me because we're going from 0 to 100, you know, 0 to 1,000.
Right.
So that was huge. And people, and in my church community that I was at the time, like it was unheard of the level of transparency that I was speaking at. And people were secretly inboxing me.
Wow.
Saying, thank you. Or they would pull me aside at church events and be like, thank you so much because you freed me specifically from shame.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I this is kind of giving gonna pull me on a rabbit hole a little bit, but I think one of the things that debilitates people's growth is the cycle of shame that we continually put ourselves in, right? Mm-hmm. And when you empower to tell your story, you take back the narration. And then it empowers you to make different choices or to see it differently or have a different perspective. Mm-hmm. So I think when I started to see that happening in people's lives, I was like, yeah, I'm called to transparency. And the Lord led me to actually do a transparency challenge. Mm-hmm. And so for the month of December, I challenged people to tell a story, right? Tell their testimony, right? Mm-hmm. But let it just be a raw testimony. But what I did was I started with my own. And the response that I got, I was shocked. Like, so I, from people talking about having insecurities about being too tall to talking about cutting themselves and almost dying, like it varied.
Yes.
In like great things, but topics that people didn't want to touch. I talk about these topics all the time. Those like the taboo subjects, right? Especially growing up in church, you don't want to talk about suicide, or you don't talk about, yeah, I was having sex and singing on the choir, or, you know, I'm seen as a pretty girl, but I actually really hate myself. Like, this is the stuff that started to come out, and people, I got two reactions. People were free, but people got angry. You know, some people message me and they're like, what's wrong with you? Who gave you the right to do this? And then tell other people to do it. You know, and I felt like that confirmed my purpose in both ways, because one, it was so controversial that it was offending the religious, right? And then also more people were literally experiencing breakthrough through literally just being transparent and vulnerable. So, yeah.
Oh, I mean, wow, that is so amazing and so incredible, because really what I'm hearing you say is like, just your willingness to just, like you say, be raw about your own life. Really, I love like Brené Brown says that the way to overcome shame is through vulnerability, but through empathy. When someone is empathetic, when you are vulnerable, that's when the shame goes away. Because what shame constantly tells us, right, is, you know, I am bad. When Brené Brown would say, like, what that person needs is someone to empathize and say, hey, I know how you feel. And yeah. Essentially, that's what your vulnerability does. It says, I know how you feel. I know what you're going through. And I love that you didn't just, you know, around the whole idea of confirming this call, that you didn't just accept all the good stuff, you know, because mm-hmm. we do think that, well, because we've got a good response, well, that means that we're going in the right direction. But sometimes it is the bad stuff. It's the, like you say, the who do you think you are and why in the world would you be doing this? That all can be confirmation that you are moving in a direction that is so in line with who you most deeply are, which is being transparent and helping others have the permission to be transparent. Yeah. And then not only did you do that, you even did a challenge. I mean, that is amazing. And I love, I really believe that would be so helpful to people. Confirmation isn't just the good. It can be also those who are offended. Do you have anything else to add around that confirmation before we move on?
Well, yes, because I think that when we start to move into authenticity, right, mm-hmm. you start moving out of a place where everybody likes you and you start actually hitting things that need to be hit in people's lives. And the thing is, it's like, I had to come to terms with, like, if I'm going to be my authentic self, then I'm not trying to conform or be a chameleon for every person.
Yes.
Like, and, you know, so for me, the liberating part that just happened for me personally is that I started to come into my own and just started, I would say just started to be sharp, because I feel like that level of transparency I was even in 2017 is nothing compared to who I am at 31. In 2017, when I was 27 about that time. And I was 27, I was unmarried at that time. So I've been through so many things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, now I'm divorced, I'm domestic abuse, I had two more kids, like so many things have happened. And, you know, but me being transparent has actually empowered me, especially being a content creator. So that's another thing that I do. So I do tell a lot of my story online, mm-hmm. right? Which leaves me vulnerable to people's opinions. You know, yes. Like people have their different feelings about what I do, right? But I am confirmed with the controversy that I don't see myself shifting as much as I did when I was like younger or when I was just trying to please people. So yeah.
Well, and I was also, what also I was thinking about is the whole thought around we're as sick as our secrets. Mm-hmm. You know, in some ways, what you're inviting people to do in every way really is saying, stop holding that secret.
Right.
That thing that you think you can't tell anybody, that thing that you think that nobody else has been through or mm-hmm. has experienced, go ahead and say it for your own liberation. And, you know, I totally identify with that. I mean, I can remember when I started preaching and teaching, I started discovering that 99.9% of the time, whatever I had to preach or teach on, I was going to have to tell something about myself that I would resist telling normally. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. But every single time I shared a story that I would have, you know, maybe in my, you know, if I was just sitting around talking to somebody, I maybe wouldn't have shared it. But every time, especially in those environments where I did share, where I was vulnerable and transparent, which is also something that I tend to be a lot of when I do preach and teach, 100% of the time, people come up and say, oh my gosh, when you said that. So mm-hmm. I know the power of transparency. And I think, I mean, don't you think that this is almost a lie that's being taught in the church? Don't be transparent, right? Don't tell your story. Don't say anything. And I love that you use the whole, it's the word of your testimony. That, man, that's what helps you get free. And us get free. You know, you, me, and God gets glorified. You said, you know, you're coming into your own is what you said. You know, you said, I'm, you know, this is because of my willingness to share all my junk.
Yes.
It helped you to come into your own. It wasn't you sharing your good stuff, all the wonderful
things.
You know, talk to me about that. Like, oh my gosh.
Well,
like,
it's funny. You know, I did, so before this blog, it was called Single Mom's Hustle. I did a blog before that. I can't even remember what it's called. And I tried to do like the churchified version of myself. Like, this is what I discovered and Jesus loves me, right? And I just was held on strong the whole entire time. And I had like 5 views, like nothing. It was such a disconnect. And it was funny because I was like also disconnected to truth and the truth of my humanity.
Yeah.
Right. That is kind of where I was thinking, because I'm like, I think one thing when I decided to become transparent, it didn't really matter about the subject, but people could connect to being human and then also be being in need of a God. Right. That was actually how I started that blog. I was like, you know, when I became pregnant, I said that was actually one of the most liberating things that happened in church. And that was out of wedlock. But for me, I could finally just be Char that was a sinner, Char that didn't have to keep up appearances, Char that was walking around with 9 months of evidence that clearly I was in sin. And I could just be the girl that needed Jesus.
Yeah.
I was free from trying to be this false version of myself.
Yeah. And you were the girl that was pregnant, but you too were loved by Jesus.
Yes.
And because you had not lost your mind, you weren't hiding. Obviously, Jesus loved you. You know what I'm saying? You were.
Yes.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. No, I get it. Like, cause I feel like I'm there with you. I'm hot about it, but it's just because I feel like I've seen so many people in cages, and I was once in this cage of performance and also striving, because I was taught about a God that wouldn't love me unless I complete this list of things. And I feel like when I started to just be like, hey God, like my truth, and the honest truth about myself, then could meet his grace. But when I was walking around in this denial, I wasn't accessing the help that I had because I didn't want to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't want to be honest, like, hey, I'm promiscuous because I have this need, and the need is not bad, but I feel like I need to be loved, and I feel like you can't love me. Can you show me that?
I kind of have this mindset, I think, within the church community. You know, we're naming it and claiming it. We're speaking things as though they are. We are decreeing and declaring. And in so many ways, that's deny. So many, many ways people are using that to deny truth, right? Mm-hmm. You know, or if I have a pain, I'm not supposed to really talk about that pain. I have to only talk about that God has healed me from it, you know, whether it be mental, emotional, or physical. But how can God deal with it if I don't take the truth to him first?
Right.
You are also a liberator. Mm-hmm. Right? You're called to transparency and to liberate those who have been ensnared by sin, which we all have, but you're doing it by saying, which is the first step to, you know, freedom, acknowledge where you're in prison. Like, you have to acknowledge. Yeah.
Like, be real. Like,
yeah.
About it. And I love, you know, that. it was scary. The thing about me is, like, I think sometimes that we can use our Christianity to then say we don't have to have emotions and shove down things that we feel and shove down the pain. And, you know, it's not there because Jesus is real. And I'm like, no, it is there. And I was literally talking to someone yesterday, and she had a lot of questions about, acknowledging that pain. I said, like, I think sometimes we get so focused on, like, if we get to God or we pray that he's going to take the pain away, instead of acknowledging that he's with us in it.
Amen.
And
yes,
that is what empowers you, not mm-hmm. for it to just be removed, because that's a part of your humanity.
Yes.
Like, if that's a part of life. You can't yeah. experience joy, great joy, without experiencing pain as well.
Yeah.
You know, and I think a lot of us as humans can be walking around as numb people.
Yes. Right.
So we're like feeling like you talked about empathy. I'm like, there's just a lack of empathy, right? Yes. Because we're so disconnected from our own emotions because we in the name of faith and yes. in the name of believing. And it's like, I really hate striving. Sorry. I really do, because I feel like the thing where I had to earn God's love, which is what, like, without them saying it, because I'm like, they love you, but when you keep saying, like, if you continue doing these sins, like, God's, you're going to, like, it seems like it paints a picture that his love is going to run out.
Yeah.
Or, you know, that there's something that I can do to separate me from the yes. love of God. Which is just a lie.
When believers, like you say, tap into their emotions, because mm-hmm. I think what's happened is, because a lot of people have said, you know, salvation is not an emotional thing. You know what I mean? Like, you mm-hmm. don't, you know, they've said, you know, it's fact over feelings as it relates to salvation. And I think people took it too far.
Yes.
You know, it's like, so now I can't feel anything, but... But yet, you know, we were formed with emotions.
Right.
We were formed with anger. We were formed with, I mean, not to sin with it, but they were given to us for a reason. Right? And so this whole denial of those emotions is what is making people sick.
Right.
Literally, physically, mentally, emotionally sick. It's like the minute you start acknowledging those emotions, it's like you start hearing chains drop.
It's funny. I used to work in a hospital, and you know, I worked in a merge, and I would work on, and I also worked on a floor. And I remember on like a patient floor when they admit you, and on the floor when they admitted you, it's not as bad as emergency, because people would be admitted because their leg got infected. Mm. And by the time that they're admitted, they had ignored it for so long that they have to start, like, I don't know when they start scraping the wound, because there's so many layers of how deep the wound is. So they like debride it, or I don't know what the word is. It's like they literally scrape it. That's the process of scraping it by layers. And then they have to patch it. And then scrape it again and patch it again and scrape it again, because it has sat for so long.
Yes.
If they had initially came in,
yes,
when the wound just happened,
yes,
then they wouldn't even need to be admitted.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like, go ahead.
Oh, I remember when I was younger, I got I used to ride motorcycles, and I had a permit to drive one. So I actually have. People would probably not believe that, but I really could drive a motorcycle by myself. But I ended up hitting the back of my calf, ended up hitting the hot pipe on the motorcycle one time. It was bad. It was bad when it happened. And I didn't get it looked at. I tried to take care of it myself. And that's exactly what happened. It got infected, and I had to go to the doctor. And the pain that I had to go through because I ignored the pain was worse than the initial pain. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a word right there.
It is.
In the faith community, there's so much more denial of pain. I mean, there's not even any opportunities for being transparent. One time I was thinking about you saying how, you know, the word of your testimony, I was just studying what, like, movements and things that, you know, like preachers that have like large followings. And I actually did go back and look at Billy Graham, like, what did he do in his services? You know, mm-hmm. one, his message was always very simple, but you know what else he did that we rarely see anymore? He always had a testimony of some sort of people who said, this is who I was before I became a believer, and this is who I am now. In every single one. And that's really, and then he would follow with his message, his simple message. And then, you know, hundreds of people would come down and accept. But most people want to know, like, how is this helping you? Though all of those are the benefits of transparency, you know, helping other people to get to their pain.
Sometimes we think it's going to kill us. Like if we actually like open up, like the pain is going to take us out. One thing about now that I'm more mature in my walk, I feel like I'm always trying to encounter more of God's love, right? I think that that was always what I was doing in my life. I was always trying to discover and feel like, am I going to be loved? And am I going to be accepted? Right? And am I going to be, are you going to be with me no matter what stage I'm at? I think that throughout my life, I was always asking those fundamental questions. And as I experienced more things, I feel like I was still trying to figure that out. So when my daughter died, my daughter died in August, and, you know, she was 13 months old, and this is still kind of fresh, but I started to, I said, God, if I feel the depth of this pain, if I grieve the way that I feel the grief, I'm like, are you going to keep me alive? That was my question.
Yeah.
Like, am I going to die and drown in my despair? And like, just the feelings, like, because, you know, we say, like, people say, don't live in it or feel it in moments, but the weight of grief that I felt, I was scared.
Yeah.
To allow myself to feel it completely. Yeah. And I had this moment in January. So like, look how long that was, like, you know, and I said, I am tired of trying to hold this in. So God, if you're going to, if you are a keeper and you can keep me in this pain, show me. And I let go. I just let go. I didn't try to not be depressed. I didn't try not to be in despair. You know, I didn't try any of that. And you know what I was met with? God's love. It almost felt like I hit this big cushion, like, you know, those inflatable things when they're jumping off roofs, right? Of his love. And I thought I was going to hit the ground. But now I discovered that the weight of my despair is nothing compared to the level of his love.
Yes. Yes.
But I had to take the chance and allow, I had to risk my fear.
Yes.
And take the chance to say, can you actually do this at this level of where I'm at?
Yes.
Because I know I've experienced him in other ways, but I haven't experienced him here. You know, and sometimes we can be so hard on ourselves. Like, people will say, you should just trust God. You know God, right? But I don't know God here.
Yes.
I don't know God in this. You know, and this is why I speak with so much compassion. And I think that I am called literally to this. I feel like I am called to the unbeliever, but I'm called to people who are already in Christ that actually don't experience God.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and informative.
Go ahead.
Informative spirituality, we talk about how when we experience dissonance, and dissonance can be any type of negative emotion, hopelessness, despair, grief, that there's two options. We're either going to feel abandoned by God, or we're going to abandon ourselves to God. And you actually just described the most incredible, like, such a great example of what that looks like, where you are wrestling with either I'm going to be taken out by this. It is so heavy. It's so much. I have never experienced it before. So therefore, I don't know where it's going to take me, you know, because I have never been this way before. And that is like, you're down this path of not sure God is with you in it. You know, it's like, I don't know if you're going to be with me in it. But then when you surrender, really, it's like the surrender of, I'm going to abandon myself to God And by doing that, I'm going to feel it because I know he's with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like there came this moment, it seemed that like God is with me and I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to trust that it's like jumping. It's like they, you know, there's this thing about you either jump and you're going to fly or you're going to get caught, you know, God's going to catch you,
yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. And that was such a beautiful picture of that, because I love the whole, what you're saying about, yeah, people will say, oh, trust God. And you're like, but I have never been this way before. And I don't know if God's going to show up.
Right.
For me in this way,
in this place. That's new.
And he did.
He did. And I actually believe, you know, one, I believe that he'll show up every time.
Absolutely. Right?
But I think that everyone comes to these places in their life when it's just like, you know, whether it's like, I have to face the pain of my childhood, or I have to look back at that molestation. And I feel like if I feel that pain, it's going to take me out. Or I have to like, look back at, you know, why I'm so angry at my mom. Or like, you know, the things that we struggle with, or why, like, for instance, why was I so promiscuous? Like, for real, like, not just because I like sex, you know, that's the excuse. Like, mm-hmm. what is the real thing? What is the root? And I feel like some of us are so afraid of the root issues, but God wants us to live and be whole and well.
Yes. Yeah.
And, go ahead.
Yeah. And even in the midst of our deformation, like, he still is inviting us to remember that as we go, that he's with us, and that there's meaning. There's always a discovery.
Yeah.
When we abandon ourselves to, and I love what we use in form of spirituality. We use the divine forming mystery, because one, there is a part of the creator, the one we serve, that is mystery. So we can never always just know what it is, and the hows and the whys and all that. Formation is always a mystery. But what we do know is that we're being formed in some ways. We're being invited to become more than where we're at, you know, in our despair, our grief, our sadness. When we know that, There is a lesson or meaning out of this, then we can move towards that, I believe. I don't know. I'm always a little concerned when we get into roots and stuff, because I think that we can never really truly know a why. And I think sometimes people look for whys to find out who they can blame, you know, like, oh, well, I can blame this person. And it's not even... maybe God is not even trying to deal with who's responsible, because I guess some things, I take it all the way back to Genesis 3 and just say, if it wasn't for the fall, none of this stuff would happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Instead of trying to pinpoint like, oh, that was my brother who caused me to be this way, or my mom or my dad or my aunt or my grandmother, or, you know, the situation happened when I was in third grade or whatever. To me, those are so, it's too broad. But if I can say, oh, there is a way that I can be formed in this to become more than who I am today, then that makes the leap that, like you just said, like a leap of faith worth it.
I hear you. I'm like, so like, even, you know, if Holy Spirit, or like, I'm going through therapy, or, you know, and we are going in my past, it's not to point a finger, right? Or to blame anyone. Usually, to be honest, if I go in my past, especially with Holy Spirit, and I have conflicting relationships, parental relationships, God will usually show me their humanity as well.
Yes.
So then I can have compassion, right? And then I grow to be a more compassionate person.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. In general. Compassionate with myself, compassionate with those who have hurt me, like, you know, just having more compassion and love for the human experience that everybody goes through.
God has always given us an invitation. I believe that is the sacred purpose of looking back.
Yes.
we find out, what we really end up finding out is hurt and rejected people hurt and reject people.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And that is the pattern across humanity. We realize that, then we really start again, like we're saying, what, so how am I going to be formed in this? Mm-hmm. You know, am I going to allow myself to be formed in a way that is more in line with who I most deeply am, more in line with who my creator is, or am I going to be formed in a deformative way where I become bitter and angry and frustrated? And we've all been on both sides.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So I feel like it depends on the area. What are we talking about?
It just depends on what it is. Yes. You know? And so, but I think that if we go, it goes back to your calling. It all starts with transparency. Overcome to remain steadfast in your purpose.
I think one of the things when I would experience hurt by people, or I, especially people I love. So I think I got over strangers, you know, like people that I'm not connected to. But when I would feel like people that I love judged me, I could become very self-centered. Very guarded. Like I'm like, I'm just trying to protect myself now. So that would be one of my biggest obstacles with transparency, because now I'm walled up, right? And I'm like, I don't want to talk anymore. I don't want to share anymore. And I mean, my balance to that is that I don't share everything unless I'm ready. So there's something I'm struggling with today that I'm not gonna say on this podcast. Right.
Yeah.
But you know, I start to hold back my testimony because of the fear of getting hurt or judged. And, you know, for me to continue to tell my story meant I had to start looking at how it affected others. I had to get out of myself.
Yeah.
Out of like this, that selfish thing that God is always confronting with me, right? Like, okay, he's like, so you're going to keep your mouth shut to benefit yourself, and you could see someone dying from something that you've overcome. And if you just literally just said, you're not giving them advice. If you just say, hey, I've overcome it, you could save their life. You don't think that's worth it? Like, that's the challenging question that comes up with me in this walk of telling my testimony. You know, and honestly, my love and compassion has grown to the extent that most times it breaks me out of, like, I'm like, okay.
Yeah. It's time to get out. You know, self-protection. I mean, and I think that that's common for so many of us, especially so many of us who are speakers, and where we use our voice to share, you know, a message. I believe that that's the way the enemy tries to silence us. You know,
I was going to say the muzzle. I feel like I'm always fighting against the muzzle, you know, trying to keep my mouth shut. Like, you know, sometimes I feel like I would visibly, like someone would say something to me and I could feel like someone's hand is on my mouth. Shut up.
Yeah.
Stop talking. Right.
Yes.
You know, and combating that with, I mean, I struggled with it yesterday. You know, like this is something that I am continuously having to fight against.
Yeah.
It's like, do I make the decision to continue to speak? Right. Or do I be quiet? And, you know, in the Bible, Jeremiah, you know, everyone talks about this, like in this, like he said, I feel like fire shut up in my bones. Right.
Yeah.
And they talk about it. Sometimes when I hear it talked in a positive way, I laugh because I'm like, you guys are not human. You don't understand what he's saying. Like,
right,
you know,
right,
like he's talking about this experience, right, where there's something that he's burning to say, but then he's having this wanting to protect himself, because feeling like if I say this now, I'm subjecting myself to the harm of other people's words, judgments, like, you know, he wanted to protect, but what he was so passionate about, he couldn't hold in. Right. I believe that Jeremiah loved people, even though he was very honest about his pain.
Mm-hmm.
So his love for people and what God is, and his love for God, well, that's the fire. That's the passion where he's like, I feel like fire shut up in my bone, and he has to speak, right? So I think that that is a great scripture to talk about, like what I struggle with and the opposition.
But what I also hear you talk about, and what you even just point out, even with Jeremiah, really, it's like the struggle with being, with having a sense of responsibility to the call. To where the calling is no, it's really not an option. You know, you're not volunteering to be transparent. You've been called to be transparent. It's not an option. You don't really get to say no, you know, and it's so many levels. You know, sure, you could say no, but once you say no, it's like the hand over your mouth. And when someone has their hand over your mouth, you cannot freely breathe.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Because we don't want to be judging. We don't want people to say nasty, ugly things about us.
nobody wants that.
You know, we don't want that. I mean, we don't want that. Like, I like this whole podcast, even for me, is a leap. Like, this is like, okay, you know, and I started with the first one, and I'm also a perfectionist. I can think of all the things that people could say and all the, but again, there wasn't one of my greatest takeaways from my daughter's surgery is I came away with a sense of responsibility to this calling that I have. To share what I know, what I things that I absolutely know, some wisdom, insights. There was just came away from it with I do know for a while I've been in that space where it's like, nope, I'm so tired of dealing with folk in their mouth. And you do self-protection, but what you're saying is, but there comes a point where I'm responsible to the person who's waiting for this message. Message, not because it's technically just what you have to say, but there's a greater power trying to reach them. So tell me, what are your milestones? Like, what are the things that help you to know that you are in your purpose?
I think one of the greatest milestones that I specifically just crossed is kind of, it's kind of touching what you were saying, is like the scripture that kept coming to me when you were talking about the responsibilities, when Paul said, I'm constrained by this great gospel, you know? When I got to a point where not only it became like second nature. To do it. Like, so it stopped being like, I'm not saying I don't have moments, but like I use my transparency at like, I use a tool willingly, right? You know, it's not something where I have to think about. It's just like, okay, I know what to go to in this scenario. Like most of the times when I'm speaking, I am speaking my story. I've been through a lot, right? And I have walked through many things, and I've come, and every time I walk through something, I experience more and more God's love. And I feel like that passion to bring people back to that love has, to me, it's a mark of maturity. You know, and I think also when I released my ebook was a milestone for me too, because now not only is it just a moment to moment, but now there's actually a permanent record. I want to do that in print too. I want to do it in hard copy, but there's a permanent record of these words now. I felt like that was a milestone as well. Yes. Like that even when I am not in a place that something is now left behind.
Yes.
So yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's one of the things that I think is so important for people is to embrace their uniqueness. And I think we don't always think about our own uniqueness and what makes us unique. And in formative spirituality, we actually use the word originality, because every person Every person is born in original.
Yes.
Every person is, there is a divine essence that was placed in them that is uniquely them, that is originally them. And that, and really our whole lives, either moving towards that originality or we're denying it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so talk to me about your originality, your uniqueness. In what ways do you see your uniqueness show up in the world?
I'm answering that widely. I'm like, I'm so intricately designed, mm-hmm. right? Like a fingerprint, you know, yes. to fit different points of people's lives. Like when you were asking the question, I was thinking about, so me and Dominique, you know, we were talking this morning and we were talking about how what we bring to people's lives. So like, say if we're one person is called to, we're called to the same person. We were saying, well, you, because of your uniqueness, you bring this to the table. And because of, you know, my way of dealing with, like, so specifically, like, I feel like when it comes to people who are promiscuous, I have a specific compassion and gentleness to deal with, mm-hmm. you know, people who are coming out of promiscuity. I feel like I have the grace for it, right? Mm-hmm. I understand my spot, mm-hmm. like my originality so well that mm-hmm. we could be talking to the same person, but when certain subjects or certain matters come up, I know that I can step back. I feel free about mm-hmm. that. I don't feel like I have to touch everything.
Yes.
You know, so when I'm original, I think that like, I can see, I'm very detailed. So Char is, I see things in my mind, almost like in graphs, numbers, charts, mm. right?
Symbols, and I bet.
Yeah. Symbols, very calculated. I'm very detail oriented. Mm. My friends would say about me to you know, yeah. but I'm the person that in just random conversation, I'm picking up details about you.
Yes.
I'm studying you as a person because you're important to me. And yeah. then I'm going to use moments to remind you that you're loved by this moment feeling insignificant, but I'm saying, hey, that I actually remembered that. And I just have the ability to do that, right? Yeah. With my mind and, you know, and how much I would say that I have a file for probably every person in my life.
Wow.
Right. But I also know that I have a capacity, I think. And that is my ministry of love. Like, I think that is one thing that the Lord, he says, he's like, you're called to this person to teach them my love for them.
Mm. I love that. I love that. What you're saying is that, you know, one, just being called to let people know that they are deeply loved is the greatest mission, one.
Right.
And what I also love around all of that is that you said, you know, I know my originality so well that I don't have to compete with anyone.
Right.
When we're not really fully comfortable and confident in our originality, we compete.
Yes.
You know, we start trying to make sure that our originality is seen, really, you know, and, you know, when we really know who we most deeply are and we're in tune and in touch with our originality, then we have those ebbs and flows of, okay, I'm being invited to show up in this way. And sometimes I'm being invited to take the back seat or, you know, mm-hmm. but I clearly know what is my lane for and what is not, you know?
Yes.
and that's so important. And if more people, if everybody in the world, you know, because in scripture, it talks about the body of Christ, that right. we are the body and the body has all of these parts. And the foot needs the hand, and the hand needs the foot, and the mouth needs the legs. And if we understood that we all are needed and necessary, then we would stop competing. The many of the gifts, you know, which are rooted, I believe, in originality, because that's the image of God being displayed through people.
Yeah.
It's like mouthpieces. Okay, y'all only get to do it. You all are the only ones who get to actually, like, if
you're right.
You know, but there's but it's so much bigger than that. One last question is, like, what kind of practices do you put in place to help strengthen your resilience?
Well, now I'm using, I guess, a therapy tactic. So sometimes I struggle with overthinking, right? And, you know, sometimes we can be like, oh, we're so gifted and we just know everything. False. It's not true. Right. And, you know, we can get into digging, like, just false perceptions and false realities about things that are not real. So one of the things that I do to help guard that is when I journal, I have the chart of, like, they use it in, I think they use it in cognitive behavioral therapy. So, you know, I acknowledge my emotions, what happened, right? I break it down with basically what is facts, right? You know, what am I afraid of? And, you know, try to find the middle ground. And I have Holy Spirit, you know, so God is in the, every one of these evaluations. So sometimes I put scripture in there too. Like, I'm like, what does the Bible say about this subject? You know, what does it, because honestly, usually when I'm having the most internal battles, sometimes I feel like it has to do with something regarding my identity. I internalize a lot. Right. So I'm like, does this mean that I'm not worthy? Does this mean that I can't be loved here? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm feeling rejected. Like, and then I have to sort out the situation, right, by writing it down. And then always coming back to the conclusion that no matter what, you know, I am loved by God. And, you know, also, like, that I can't control other people and their perceptions. Just like I'm allowed to feel, they're allowed to feel. You know, these are, like, usual truths that I come back to, but I go through the process of, instead of just letting my mind run, we stop and we start to identify. Like, Char, okay, what is happening?
Yeah.
Acknowledge the feeling, right? And then peel it apart and then get back to the truth of my identity of who I am, right, in Christ. So that is one of, that is my most recent protective boundary. Also, one thing I do to stay resilient is, one thing I used to do is just take on a lot of false responsibility. Like, you know, but being just, I constantly remind myself, like, of my limitation. That actually empowers me.
Yes. Yes.
You know, if I acknowledge that I'm limited, you know, and then I don't have this illusion of control.
Yes.
Then there's a peace that I can have within myself. And just the way that I live life, and then give God what's God's and give people what's people. And then what's mine is mine.
Yes. Oh my goodness. You are so up in form of spirituality, girl. Like, that is so important. Is, it's like one of the primary principles in form of spirituality is recognizing our limitations. Matter of fact, my favorite quote is with Adrian Van Kam and Dr. Susan Muta, who would be to me like the father and mother of form of spirituality. They created this incredible framework around how we are formed into the image of God, right? But the quote says, we are an outline of limitations and a treasure of possibilities. And so it's discovering, like, yes, when we know we're limited, like, that is an incredible practice of saying, like, let me make sure I'm aware of my limitations here.
Yes.
And I love the whole cognitive, the practice around that you've gotten from cognitive therapy. And that's a great plug for mental health. You know, even like cognitive therapy is important. I don't know where I would be if I didn't have a therapist. I have a therapist.
Hello. I have a therapist.
I have a therapist.
More than one.
And I've been in therapy my whole life. I feel like I have ever since I've known that I could have a therapist, I've had a therapist. And so that's, you know, because as even as believers who carry the Holy Spirit, you know, we need therapy.
Yes.
Mental health is important. So I'm grateful for you to acknowledge that, because some people everybody needs to know you need a therapist, find you one.
Yeah.
You know, find you one. It's important.
Do it.
So, what would you have to say as we conclude? We have to conclude.
Well, I guess, thank you for the opportunity. I am actually going to be starting my own personal podcast soon. I announced it. It's called the Losing Faith Podcast.
Yes.
And we basically are talking about where our faith meets our humanity and where our emotions contradict what we believe and all the messy stuff in between. So that is what my podcast is about. So look out for that. I'll be announcing that on my Instagram when that's out. And then secondarily, Promiscuous Tales of a Church Girl. If you want to get the ebook, it's www.payhip.com/Charnell Taylor. So my name, CharnellTaylor. And you can buy it. It's $20 and it should be downloaded to you. And literally, it's just me telling my life story. And not everything, a section of my life from my 27-year-old self point of view. So if that can help, you know, get it for your daughters, get it for your sisters, like anyone that's struggling with being promiscuous, but also if you're just struggling with being in the church and feeling like you can't be yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like that would be very helpful and liberating. For anyone that reads it. So,
well, I am so glad that we had the opportunity to have this conversation. And I thank you so much for just taking the time out on your birthday to have this conversation. Thank you for listening. And I want to invite you to check out my website at www.joycelynlewis.com and be ignited.